Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. As you can see, Brother Daniel from Australia is with us this morning once again on this Wednesday. Good morning, Brother Daniel. How are you, sir?
Very well. I'm pleased to be here once again.
I love it. You know what? Daniel is like a fountain ready to open wide and to release some very important things to us today. I believe that with all of my heart, so we're going to give place to that. Daniel, I thought it was very interesting with everything going on in the world today that a friend of mine, a pastor from Missouri, who I've known for many, many years, sent me an article reminding me about the executive orders that the presidents of our United States of America have made throughout the years. And Jimmy Carter in 1979 signed into law an executive order granting all presidential power and authority to FEMA in the event of a national disaster. And because all 50 states right now have been declared an emergency, it is now where some people are saying that Donald J. Trump isn't even the president any longer, that all that invested power in the president has been transferred to FEMA because of executive order, which is a real game changer, because when you start reading the executive orders and how much power FEMA, now connected to Homeland Security, actually has in moving populations, distributing people where they want them to be, it becomes a little bit more intense. But I'm going to let that just settle for a moment, and I want to welcome you once again to this radio broadcast and tell us what is – and by the way – happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Daniel. Happy birthday to you. It is your birthday, right?
It is. Thank you very much.
All right.
Well, it's not now. Since it was midnight, it's no longer my birthday.
Because you're back from the future. You're 16 hours ahead of us.
That's right. That's
all right. So you're already into tomorrow. So happy birthday, Daniel. What are you, 30?
Thank you very much.
You turned 30?
I like that. You
not
can
true.
Say my best friend. I'm at 46 young. I'm a spring chicken at 46 years old.
I love it. 46. You're doing great, man. God bless you. All right. So we're going to say good morning to Sharon. She's with us this morning on YouTube and Facebook, and to all of our friends out there listening on Blog Talk Radio, Omega Radio, Facebook, and YouTube. Welcome. God bless you. Daniel, what's moving in your heart today?
Gosh, where do I even begin? Well, I could start beginning just in regard to some of the issues that we are experiencing in regard to the coronavirus, in regard to our civil liberties coming under threat. Mm-hmm. So it just seems as if this is becoming more and more the new normal now. It doesn't seem to be any any normality coming on the horizon, in the sense that this quarantine lifestyle will come to an end. So I'm noticing a lot of different media pundits are saying that this might be the new normal. So very interesting. And considering that, the church has had to rely enormous a lot upon the internet and on technology such as Zoom, technology such as YouTube Live, and relying a lot upon technology. And it seems to be a little bit problematic in the sense that some of these platforms seem to be cracking down on some of the content. And let me just give you such an example. So on Friday, Google suspended Christchurch's app from the Google Play Store, after accusing the pastors of a lack of sensitivity and or capitalizing on the current coronavirus pandemic. The church received a notice from the platform stating, "We don't allow apps that lack reasonable sensitivity towards or capitalize on a natural disaster, atrocity, conflict, death, or other tragic event. Your app has been suspended and removed due to this policy issue," the notice added. So it's believed that Google was referring to Pastor Douglas Wilson's short lessons on responding faithfully to the COVID-19 crisis and Pastor Toby J. Sumter's sermon calling God's people to humble repentance in the face of the pandemic. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, it absolutely.
Wow. The fact that they are now banning sermons. They have basically become, you know, they're now checking sermons to see whether it adheres to their community guidelines. And that's just incredible, just incredible times.
You know, Daniel, I woke up this morning and they are incredible times. And I was thinking, I don't know why, I just kind of woke up and this thought was in my mind about Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer kind of standing back quietly right now saying, we hit them with an impeachment issue. We've been relentless for 3 years with one issue after another. Now he's trying to manage this coronavirus issue. And it's supposedly the state governors, some of the state governors are gathering together because they're going to oppose. And so they're just waiting for this man to fall, the president of the United States of America. He seems to have not been in the know completely about a number of things. And if a praying church does not support Donald J. Trump at this moment, the powers that be that are forming to take him out and to pull him down. And again, we're talking about an executive order that is on the books that could sway all power, transfer all power to FEMA. And FEMA's not a friend. You know, they have no personal sweet relationship with us, as so many people have found the president to be somewhat of an affectionate, individual that we could relate to. We don't know who FEMA is. We don't know Homeland Security. We don't know, you know, what kind of spirit they carry with them. And so I just feel like there is, again, that major attempt by the left in our country to dismantle this presidency.
Yep, definitely. And this is what Christians need to understand. There almost seems to be a little bit of a movement within evangelical circles that basically frowns upon people who show any support towards Donald Trump or shows any current administration. I think that's extremely dangerous. Can you just imagine if every single Christian followed that lead and didn't mention and didn't say anything in regard to what's going on in the political environment? Can you imagine if every single Christian withdrew from politics and had nothing to do with it? We would be handing American society over to the left on a silver platter. That's exactly what they want. The left do not want Christians to be involved in politics. They don't want Christians to be switched on and to understand the times in regard to the political environment. The devil hates that. The devil wants politics to be his realm and his realm alone, with no interference. And he doesn't want anyone taking a stand or raising their voice in regard to political matters. And this is really, really important. Push back against this. I feel it all the time. There's Christians who try to say, listen, you know, you need to be quiet. You shouldn't really say stuff like that. And they, you know, and they try to say it's spiritually immature. If you were mature, then you wouldn't talk about this stuff. It's a load of rubbish. It's extremely negligent if you were to withdraw from politics. Every single Christian needs to raise their voice. Every single Christian needs to take a stand and to throw their support behind Donald Trump at this time. Now listen, Donald Trump is not perfect. He is not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Okay? He probably puts his foot in his mouth more than he does anything else. I mean, he can be bombastic. He can be over the top. He can rub you the wrong way. But the reality is, he is chalk and cheese when compared to the previous president. Barack Obama was probably the most biblical hostile president in U.S. history.
Yeah, agreed.
Whereas Donald Trump, he is the most pro-life president that you have ever had in your history. And not only that, but he openly, and he's more open in his Christianity than even our prime minister here in Australia. You know, Donald Trump said that Christians need to spend time with God. So I think that's remarkable that he would say that. I think Donald Trump has come on a long journey. I think he's not the same man that he was when he first became president. I think there's a lot of godly men behind the scenes that are praying for him. And there's a lot of prayer that goes on in the White House. So much more than the previous administration. In fact, there is prayer going on in the White House all the time, not only in the office of Mike Pence, but also in the Donald Trump's meetings that he has in regard to his cabinet members. It's just really encouraging. So we need to support him with everything that we can. Again, he's not perfect, but listen, we need to stand shoulder to shoulder with him, especially in these crucial days leading up to the November elections.
All right. So rightly dividing what you're saying, we know that when Yeshua came to this earth, when he came to Israel 2000 years ago, he was preaching a kingdom, and there was Rome, the global empire. He really didn't give it much attention, and he was calling the people of Israel out of the Sanhedrin, the Pharisaical, the Sadducee, you know, mindset. And he's presenting to them a spiritual kingdom, and he's showing them how they can spiritually navigate into a kingdom that yes. is inward, it's intrinsic, it's alive, it's Holy Spirit. There it is. And yet, what you're saying is that was not to abdicate our responsibility of knowing that we do live on this earth. We are in this world. We're not of this world, but as citizens in flesh bodies on this earth, we are to, you know, if you have a right to vote, You should exercise that right. You should seek out a righteous individual, because the scriptures do tell us, going all the way back to King David and beyond, Daniel was in a governmental system of Babylon, et cetera, et cetera. Joseph was a ruler in Egypt. And so God has never really spoken to us directly and said, you know, have nothing to do with that, because when good men do nothing, evil prospers. And so it is important. And I think a lot of people have awakened to that reality that we are called to, you know, at least give your vote, if nothing else, and to pray for those who are in authority. Now, I know the prayer for Barack Obama was get him out of there, right? That was the prayer of millions. But for Donald J. Trump, I mean, to see the left putting and applying so much pressure on the man, he's got enough pressure. We don't want to add to the pressure right now through speculation or anything to that effect. But interesting times, Daniel, and I think you're right on with what you're saying.
Yeah, look, we need to see your love and devotion for God and your active participation in political matters aren't mutually exclusive, okay? It's not one or the other, okay? And this is what some Christians tend to think. Oh, you know, if you're into politics, then you, it's idolatry, you're not following God. That's a load of rubbish, you know? And if you're following God, then you can't be involved with politics. No. Listen, you need to be 100% sold out for Jesus. That's number one, okay? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. But what I would say would come in third beneath your family is your responsibility to be a voice in this political environment, to be a voice in this, in the culture. We need to be a voice within the culture. And you cannot be a voice within the culture without getting involved in some political matters. Politics, getting involved with politics is unavoidable. You know, I mean, there's politics everywhere. You have politics in your office, politics in the school, politics in the, you know, in the church. There's even politics in the church. Politics is just a part of life, and it's unavoidable. And, you know, here's the other thing too. Your founding fathers were godly men, God-fearing men, yet they had a solemn responsibility to fashion the political foundations of your great nation. So they were dedicated to statesmanship and crafting and being the architects of building the greatest nation on the face of the planet. And so they were absolutely in over their heads with involved with politics, but that didn't be to the detriment of their walk with the Lord. It wasn't to the detriment of their walk with the Lord. They were passionate for God, you know. And there's a great deal of pushback within academia trying to make out that the founding fathers were not religious, which is a load of rubbish. Even the least religious founding father, Benjamin Franklin, scolded his fellow founding fathers for not praying enough. So, you know, we need to understand that the foundations of America are saturated in Christianity. And because they were saturated in Christianity, hence why America has been the political model for all other nations to follow.
Yeah, absolutely. A republic, ma'am, if you can keep it, which was made holy for a righteous people. And without that, you'll see the cave in. And we're watching our society cave in. We're watching a nation so divided right now that by the time we get to the elections cycle in November, Daniel, if things don't shift dramatically, which there seems to be no appearance that they will, the left will continue its abrasive movement to undermine everything about what this country once stood for. And it'll either lead to revolution, civil war, anarchy, whatever the case is. And we know that America is sitting right now in a phase of judgment where four major waves of adversity are going to hit it. We're seeing the first one right now. We believe three more waves are on the way. and we'll see what that is. So, you know, I think it's interesting just kind of, you know, walking down this path, because not everybody listening to us probably agrees with what we're saying. And that's obvious by years of people just blacking out and saying, you know, I want nothing to do with this world system. Yeah. You know, you never once hear Jesus praying for Caesar. Now, there's a lot of things he prayed that we don't know what he prayed. Only some things were revealed. Yeah. So we can't say he never did pray. And I would think as God's son, he would want the salvation of all mankind everywhere. And so, you know, the idea of just, you know, becoming spiritually in tune with the kingdom of Christ, which I think is imperative for us in the primary place. But again, we're here right now and we are in a battle, and either we're going to sit back and watch it happen or we're going to put our, you know, our energies and our effort into, you know, examining and discerning, you know, who is it that we are actually voting for, and can that individual go into the halls of power and bring about change, which we're watching happen. We're still a little bit, you know, frustrated that abortion is still legal after 3.5 years, that homosexual marriages are still legal. And they say, well, it takes more time. And there is the agenda. We've got to vote for the president for 4 more years so he can undermine this, you know, these things that have brought the wrath, if you will, upon our nation. So, you know, what do you say to the person that just says, you know what, I'm not of this world. I don't live in this world. I mean, I'm in it, but I'm not of it.
Yeah, and you know, there's also the other argument as well, where they say, well, what's the point? Isn't it like shuffling the deck chairs on the Titanic? I mean, if this really is the last days, what's the point? What's the point of going and voting in November? What's the point of being politically active? What's the point? I mean, it's just shuffling the deck chairs on the Titanic. The Titanic's going down, man. And so there seems to be a bit of apathy going on in regard to that. Now, people need to understand that to be involved in politics, see, the motivation to be involved in politics is because you love your neighbor. Because you love your neighbor. If you love your neighbor, then you will do whatever you possibly can to ensure that your neighbor is not murdered in their mother's womb. If you love your neighbor, you would do whatever you possibly could to ensure that your neighbor's children are not indoctrinated into homosexuality in the public school system. Okay? If you love your neighbor, then you will do whatever you possibly can to prevent the evil indoctrination that is going on in the public universities. You know, it's all about loving our neighbor, and that's why we fight. In fact, I think it was G.K. Chesterton that said, we fight not because we hate those in front of us, but because we love those behind us. Mm. We love those behind us. That's why we fight. That's why we fight. We don't want our children to be indoctrinated into the homosexuality movement. You know, we don't want millions of unborn children slaughtered in their mother's wombs. We don't want that. And because of that, we are prepared to take a stand. Mm. And that's what it's all about.
You know, one of the greatest reformations that ever existed in my studies, and there's been revolutionary wars fought, there's been battles, you know, forever, but the greatest reformation that I've ever read or thought or envisioned in my mind goes all the way back to Josiah. When Josiah was a king at about the age of 26 years old, in that moment, his nation was riddled. It was disastrous. It was broken down. It was infested with demonic spirit. And the leadership were homosexuals and sodomites and wicked men and women that were exalting idols of idolatry. And so God's Holy Spirit gets into this young man, Josiah. And he rips his clothes when he reads the law of the Lord. Yeah. And he rips his clothes and he calls for a covenant with all the people that will side with him. He takes all of his power. He goes throughout the nation of Israel and he brings a reformation like no other king in the history ever has. And Daniel, I believe that there are people in this country that really do want to get behind a leader that will have the purpose of God in their heart to pull down the laws of blasphemy that have been promoted and to exalt the laws of righteousness within our society. And that is a battle, because a lot of people in politics say, well, America, we don't want America to be like Iran. I've heard this before, where everybody has to do what the dictator says to do. You know, we're a free country. We let everybody come in and do what they want to do. It's a civil right. But Daniel, that was not the truth a generation ago. You did not have a right to murder an innocent baby in the womb. You did not have a right to marry a man marrying a man and all of that. That was no right. Pornography was not a right in this country. And we could go on down the list. In one generation, we have been so dumbed down that we believe this is the way it's always been. Therefore, it's acceptable and has to always be this way. But the Reformation would be for the same spirit of God that got into Josiah would be getting to Donald J. Trump, our president, and that he would lead a movement and God's people would not be lethargic about it, but we would press in. When he stood, Josiah, to the covenant, all the people gathered around him, not just a few evangelicals in the White House, all of the people came to him and made covenant with him to take the power and to go to war and to bring reformation to their nation. Now, that's something that I think a lot of people in our country would love to do, but there have been restrictions and there have been, you know, elements of opposition against that. And if that movement ceases to exist and we've lost our moment, because the church has always been a day late and a dollar short lately for some reason, we've been silent when the murder was going on and only a few groups got together. So I don't know exactly where we are and if there's that potential, but that's the kind of reformation I think everybody that loves righteousness and morality in God would come behind this man if he would just call it in.
Mm-hmm. We need to remember righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a reproach to many people. Righteousness exalts a nation. You know, it's not MAGA. You cannot make America great again with political slogans and through politics, you know, and I'm a big advocate in regard to, as you heard previously, in regard to being involved with politics, but politics by itself is not going to save America. You know, the most important thing is getting ourselves back on track with the Lord. And this is through repentance. You know, God is looking for a repentant heart. You know, is it, when it comes down to, is it going to be revival that's going to change America, or is it going to be a, you mentioned the word reformation, because reformation is setting things right, reform, getting things reorganized and put into place. It's basically laying down a foundation from which revival can be built upon. And so, yes, there must be reforms that goes on within America. There is a lot of things that God is grieved by that America needs to address and that America needs to set straight.
Daniel, let me ask you this. I want to ask our listeners the same question. Does the church really need to rally around a man like Donald J. Trump? Or do we rally around the man, Jesus Christ, and the church should bring about the reformation that Josiah, as a singular individual that led them? I mean, even the Maccabees were honored by the Lord Jesus Christ. He honored them in the scriptures. Why? Because there was such blasphemy and evil and wickedness in the days of the Maccabees. Finally, just one of the fathers, you know, the Maccabees were the hammer. They went forward. And wouldn't it be an awesome thing for the living, breathing, organic ecclesia of Yahweh God in our generation rise up and begin to rebuke and to spare not and to speak and to actually release a wave of the power of the kingdom that we claim to be a part of into this earth, particularly in our nation, and start seeing waves of vibration shaking things, you know, for the glory of God. And then bring in the troops wherever they are. If they're in politics, military, God's people have been in every fabric of our society. Why wait for a man when the man, Jesus Christ, has given us a responsibility? And that's what you're saying. And it's beyond just voting. You got to be a doer, right?
Yeah.
Is that bad speech? Are we allowed to talk this way?
You know, 100%. 100%. And listen, if we don't speak up, if we don't take a stand, then we will lose our most precious freedom, and that's our freedom of speech. And freedom of speech is so important, especially in America, that is the free nation, the number one free nation. I mean, if again, as I always say, if America goes down, we all go down. If America loses her freedom of speech, what hope does other nations have in regard to freedom of speech? You know, freedom of speech is the most important freedom out of all freedoms, because it's through freedom of speech that we defend freedom of religion, that we defend freedom of the press, that we defend freedom of conscience. You know, and it's through that freedom of speech, and this is why the left are so tenacious and so determined to destroy our freedom of speech. You know, as we just saw, as we just were discussing earlier, how there were those sermons that were banned from the Google platform because they disagreed with a few of the things that they said in that message. Our freedom of speech is under threat, and so we need to take a stand and do whatever we can to push back.
Well, amen to that. And I want to go back to something we started out with today, Daniel, as well, okay? And this was an article sent from a friend of mine known as Man of Man. His name is Pastor Mike. He's up in Missouri. And he sent this article, and it's titled, Donald Trump is No Longer President. Meet Your New President, Pete Gaynor. And it says yesterday, and this was on April 12th, so we're talking 3 days ago. Yesterday, the state of Wyoming became the 50th and final state to declare a state of emergency. This is the first time in U.S. history that all 50 states have declared a state of emergency. This invokes the full powers of Executive Order 12148, signed by Jimmy Carter in 1979. This executive order revokes presidential power in a time when all 50 states are in a state of emergency and transfers power from the president of the United States to FEMA director Pete Gaynor. And then there's actually, you could go online and you could search it out. And here's the picture of Jimmy Carter, and it's the executive order 12148. And you read it, and it's his speech when he introduced it. And in section one, it is the transfer or reassignment of existing functions. And just the first part says, and this is written, all functions vested in the president that have been delegated or assigned to the Defense Civil Preparedness Agency, Department of Defense, are transferred or reassigned to the director of the Federal Emergency Management Agencies. And it goes on down the list, and I've read through this, and I've searched it out. It's a good fact check. It's the reality. It's an executive order. And right now, what we're not witnessing, we're hearing a lot of talk, but 50 states, all 50 in the continental United States of America, have declared a state of emergency, which automatically puts in motion executive order 12148. And so what does that mean? So is it now FEMA making the decisions and the president moving along those guidelines? That's the question that they're asking. And I don't know. There seems to be such a kind of a blackout on understanding what this is all about.
Yeah,
having a hard time with that.
Yeah, I'm not really sold out on the whole thing in regard to the whole FEMA stuff. There's a lot of sensationalism that surrounds a lot of that. So I'm very careful in regard to wading into those waters. But I don't believe that Trump has been relinquished of his presidential powers. I think that I think Trump really is in a major fight at the moment. There's no doubt about that. And good on him for actually putting together a video montage where he exposed the press for the hypocrisy. I'm not sure if you saw that, Pastor Vincent, but I think it was yesterday or the day before. He put together a video. video montage and basically embarrassed the media representative there in the press room, basically showing how much of a how hypocritical they have been. And he needed to do that. He needed basically to push back and to expose what they are trying to do. What is interesting is that I think it was 91%, might be more than that, but 91% of the press representatives donated to Hillary Clinton's campaign. In fact, I think it's a lot higher than that. I think it might even be closer to 96%. But 91 to 96% of media representatives donated to Hillary Clinton's campaign. Now, let that sink in, okay? We're not, these people are not partisan by any stretch of the imagination. These people are absolutely sold out for the Democrat Party, and they will do whatever they possibly can to destroy Donald Trump and to basically usher in another Democrat president. And here's the thing, you know, if another Democrat gets in, it could very well possibly be lights out for America, because what they will do is that they will go and legalize all the illegal, declare amnesty for all the illegal immigrants. And if they do that, it'll be game, set, match, and you'll never see a Republican president for the foreseeable future, because there'll be too many illegals that will have the right to vote that will never allow that to happen. So this is why November 2020 is so crucial, that the American people take a stand and support Donald Trump.
Amen to that. Okay, so we're living in this moment of time, and sometimes you get the feeling, the sense that as things begin to melt down, and they do appear to be melting down, even with an election positive for Donald J. Trump in November, if that were to happen, you still have a very discontented people living in this continent, within this nation. And you have a divided nation that remains to be the reality here, and it doesn't appear that it's going away. And as things begin to melt down with the next wave that comes, and the two beyond that, these next three waves that come upon our nation, I fear that people, even in churches, quote unquote, are going to begin to start to panic, because I believe right beneath the skin of every human being is a layer called panic. And unless you've learned to go deeper than that fear, that worry, that anxiety, that panic, unless you've learned how to spiritually get beyond that for men's hearts failing them for fear of what they see coming upon the earth, unless you know how to do that by the Holy Spirit and have been trained and equipped and prepared to not be shocked. And Daniel, I fear that people all over the world, Christian brothers and sisters, are in jeopardy of falling away because of the level of consternation that will come. But they thought all along they would not be here for these unholy events. Can you speak into that just a little bit?
Yeah, I was talking about that with somebody today. I think I was talking with my brother-in-law about this, because, you know, a lot of them, a lot of the people who do hold to the pre-trib position do not really place much stock into what's going on at the moment, because they believe that when it's showtime, they're out of here, they're gone. So the thing is that what I feel that God is saying to many of us now is to begin to prepare mentally, prepare spiritually, and prepare practically in regard to the days and the months and the years ahead. Because I believe with what God is doing at the moment is like a dress rehearsal. It's a dress rehearsal in regard to what is going to be coming. I think really this, if anything, this is going to jolt a lot of us out of our comfortability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's jolting us out of our apathy. It's going to jolt us out of our ignorance. It's going to jolt us. And I believe that it's awakening many of us to begin to start preparing for what's coming. Because, you know, this has been pretty, yeah, I mean, it's been serious and it's been full on and a lot of people have died, I guess. But the thing is that what's coming is, man, it's got nothing compared to what we've had to go through here. I mean, thank God we can still go to the grocery store and we can still have power and we can still do a lot of the things that we used to do. But I think with what the next birth pain that's coming, it could be a lot worse and we need to be very mindful of that. That's why, you know, as I was talking to my sister and my brother-in-law today, like we were just, they were sharing what they're doing. It's almost as if, you know, the Holy Spirit is prompting us, prompting people to get ready. And so my brother-in-law, he's took steps. He's building a vegetable garden back in his backyard. He's becoming more self-reliant, you know, with a lot of things that he's doing. He's got chickens now. So he's got eggs. He's got all these things going on in his house. And same here, like I'm getting involved in, for the first time, I'm now going to be baking bread every day, very simply. And my wife and I'm going to be working on our veggie patch. And I've been going fishing just about every day, catching fish and stocking up our freezer. And so, you know, I think we need to be mindful and be prepared practically. Just remember, you know, those wise virgins knew that the night was going to be long, okay? Whereas the foolish virgins didn't realize that the night was going to be long. And so they were caught off guard. They did not realize that they would be in for such a challenging period. And this is why, you know, Jesus said, work while you have daylight, for night is coming when no man can work.
Well, amen to that. And Daniel, let's kind of couple this. We were talking yesterday. We're in the season of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And there in the season of Passover, Unleavened Bread, and in First Fruits, this beginning of the year in the economy of heaven for the people of God, there was a promise that was given to God's people that as they honored the Lord in this season, that he would bless their bread, he would bless their water, he would take sickness away from them, he would be an enemy to their enemies, an adversary to their adversaries. So there is an economy of heaven that God's people can press into, even at a time when world systems are collapsing. And I think that is the advocation. While we're doing our job here on earth physically and doing the voting and praying for our leaders, that we do understand that there will be a time to enter into the ark and the door will shut, and that God will have a provision for his people who have honored him and followed him in his ways. And by the way, I want to say thank you. There's a young lady out there, I believe it is, and that her name is Galita Frolik. Galita Frolik. I don't know where she is from, but Galita Frolik has sent a donation with her Passover offering. We're going to be praying over that later. And we're thankful for that, Galita. God bless you. So, yep, I like what's being said out there right now. Remember, God fed our people manna and provided their water. So there is a supernatural provision for God's people in these last days. Speak into that.
Yeah, and I've been noticing it. Like, just recently, like, I never God all of a sudden has just made it possible for us to bake bread. I mean, this is so...
What about Tam Tams? Are you guys going to be able to make Tam Tams?
Tim Tams, I think you're going to be
Tim
on Tams. Your own.
Tim Tams, okay.
We're going to have to enjoy the Tim Tams when we come to the millennium.
Okay.
But no, what I'm saying from, you know, God supernaturally has brought all these things into my life that have enabled me to become more self-sufficient. You know, that now I'm actually now beginning to ferment a lot of my food. So it's now a lot of my vegetables I'm now fermenting. You know, I've got sauerkraut things going on. I've got other fermented projects going on. And so basically God's just giving me information and practical insight and how I can help my family to be self-reliant. So if things really do come to a head, you know, I mean, we're going to be okay. You know, we've got a water tank in our backyard. You know, we've got a big bags of flour and stuff like that, you know. And so, you know, some people might hear this and think, oh, you know, don't be like those tin foil hat, you know, crazy preppers. No, no, listen, you know, there are some wacky preppers out there. There's no question about that. But there's nothing wrong with being practical in making in being self-sufficient. You know, I don't believe that the Bible implies that Christians should be reliant upon the government. No, it doesn't say that at all. And this might be a little bit of a digression, but also too, it doesn't say anywhere that we need to rely upon the state for our own security either. Okay, and this is a big plus, you know, in regard to your Second Amendment. See, we don't have that right to bear arms here in Australia. We lost that after we had a massacre in the 1990s, you know, and they banned all guns from citizens from having firearms. But the thing is that the disciples actually carried swords, and that never bothered Jesus at all. You know, Jesus was not bothered by that, but the disciples carried swords. Why? Because all of them carried swords. You know, people who were traveling on the roads, they all carried swords because there were bandits that were coming on those. I didn't call you a wacky prepper, Kevin. But you need to keep in mind that we are not to rely upon the state. Okay, we are not, Christians are not to look to the state. That's where leftism comes in. Leftism wants us to rely upon the state. Leftism wants us to forfeit our self-governance and to allow the state to govern for us. Okay, so this is, we need to focus on our liberty, our individual liberty, and living free and without reliance upon the government.
Amen. Hey, Daniel, we've got about 15 minutes left in the broadcast, and then we're going to have to jump from here. We've got some calls coming in on Blog Talk Radio. So we have an 818-369-0326. That's the number to call, 818-369-0326. And let's take our first call coming in from area code 605. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. Do you have a question or comment for Brother Daniel?
Yes, I have a simple question. I was reading in my Bible this morning, and it was in Matthew, and it says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as a serpent and harmless as doves." Now, my question is this, the nature of a serpent in wisdom. And then I know what doves are like. So what is God trying to tell us? And then that next verse, he said, "But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in your synagogues." And so if you get men ready for persecution.
Daniel?
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. In fact, that leads me into a conversation that I had with a friend that I saw at the grocery store. We were social distanced, of course. But we were talking about that. We were just talking about how Christians can tend to be more empathetic in a lot of ways, and the worldly people take advantage of that. Worldly people tend to take advantage of us Christians because we tend to be more empathetic and more compassionate, and the world will take us for a mile. Essentially, that's what they'll do. And so God is saying, listen, you need to be streetwise. This is what God is saying when he says you need to be wise as serpents. You need to be streetwise. You need to have your wits about you and don't allow yourself to be taken advantage of. Don't allow yourself to be taken advantage of by the government, you know, or by the state, by the bureaucrats. Don't allow your liberty to be threatened. So I think that's what Jesus was saying. We need to be as shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. We need to maintain our innocence. We need to have a squeaky clean record, You know, in Thessalonians, it says to avoid every appearance of evil. So we need to ensure that to outsiders, we avoid every appearance where we might look as if we're doing the wrong thing. So we need to do whatever we possibly can to ensure that that to the outsiders that they're seeing us doing the right thing. Okay, we need to, even though our hearts don't condemn us and we're not doing anything wrong, we just need to ensure that we avoid every appearance of evil, and that we need to be as innocent as doves and just have a heart for holiness. You know, as I read in Ephesians chapter 5, to be imitators of God. Imitators of God. You know, and what is God? Well, God is holy. So let's imitate God. Let's chase after holiness. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about holiness. I'm talking about chasing after the lifestyle that shrinks away from the idea of hurting God, that trembles at the idea of grieving the Holy Spirit. This is what holiness is. Holiness is really being so in love with the Lord that you just wouldn't even fathom the idea of breaking his heart.
Yeah, offending the Lord. We were in Italy many, many years ago and met a man just outside of Assisi, Italy, who is a true prophet of God. And his whole message was, let us not offend the Lord. Everything was about offending God. And it seemed to be such a paradigm shift in our thinking, because we're all thinking about offending so-and-so, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. And we had this horizontal view, and we were forgetting that our offense against God is the most incredible thing that needs to be dealt with. And to live a life like that, Daniel, is right on.
Yeah.
Absolutely 100%. Right on. We agree with that. You're getting a happy birthday here, Daniel. And from Brother Dave, who just went through an appendectomy surgery something. Was it appendectomy, Dave? I don't even know how to spell appendectomy or whatever that is.
It sounds painful.
It really does. You know, but we're not going to underscore the importance of everybody listening right now. What did he call it? Let's see. I'll get it from him. We're not going to, you know, underscore or belittle the necessity of preparing. I don't know last time that anybody out there has reached into their garden and pulled out, you know, some lettuce and ate organic lettuce or an organic tomato or some organic carrots and cucumbers just right out of the good soil of your little garden, whatever it is. And we are always advocates. And Daniel, you know this. We have advocated, if you belong to an ecclesia, to a body of believers, and, you know, anything from 10 to 12 and upward, get a piece of land and begin to sow that land and get yourself a well and get, you know, do something as a community in your churches. And unfortunately, most of the churches don't want to do that because they don't believe that they're going to have that need, Daniel, because they believe they're going to be out of here before these bad days come. And that is sad, because these are our brothers and sisters, right? And all of a sudden they're going to be disillusioned and bewildered by the fact that we're still here and all this stuff is going on.
Yep. Jesus said that he that stands firm to the end will be saved. He that stands firm to the end will be saved. Now, that doesn't make any sense if there is a pre-trib rapture. What's the point of standing firm? Jesus is going to come back and, you know, there's going to be a secret rapture. We're going to be caught up in the air and there's going to be no need to stand firm to the end. But Jesus says, he that stands firm to the end will be saved. You know, in the letters of Jesus to the seven churches, seven times Jesus says, to him who overcomes. He says, to him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. To him who overcomes, they will sit with me on my throne and reign with me. To him who overcomes, I will not blot out their name from the book of life, you know, and for every, to him who overcomes, there is a promise in which God will reward those who do overcome. So, Yeah, I just think people need to get themselves into the mindset of being an overcomer and just ask the Lord for wisdom. Ask the Lord for wisdom. But, you know, James says that if any man lacks wisdom, he should ask God, and God will give generously without finding fault. Just ask him, and he'll give you the most beautiful wisdom in regard to what you are to do with the days ahead. And, you know, I'm loving this journey that I'm on, Vincent. Like, I'm loving baking my own bread every day. It's wonderful. I absolutely enjoy it. And my kids enjoy it. And, you know, and this new journey that I have in helping my family to become self-sufficient. It's wonderful. And you really get in touch with nature by doing that. It's just a remarkable thing, and it's something that God intended all along.
Well, Daniel, here's what I want to say as we go out of the broadcast today concerning you, my friend. If the time ever came that we would no longer be able to see each other, talk with each other on this side of eternity, I will look forward to seeing you in the world to come. In glorified bodies, we will recognize one another in the resurrection. The Apostle Paul would have never told the saints, don't worry about the people that have died because you're going to see them again. And if he didn't mean that, he would have never said it. And so I know that each day that we have on this earth, that we need to be busy about our Father's business. We need to be separated unto the things of God. The Lord has afforded everybody an opportunity to be less distracted by pulling down the sports world, by pulling down, you know, all the idols that were erected in our land. He has brought a Selah here, and what we do with it again is the most important thing. I want to just shout out to everybody that spent these days in prayer, spent these days in fasting, spent these days in really seeking the heart of the Father to be able to bring honor and pleasure to his heart. And Daniel, you do that on a daily basis and strive to do it and continue to do it. And there's just so much more to say, brother, but we are running out of time now. I hope that our dear friend, we got to just reach out here. I was going to ask Kathy if she had if she'd answered all of her questions, but let's try this 855-4156 real quick. Question or comment? 855-4156. You're on the air. Anything? Going once, going twice. All right. We're going to have to wait on this. Daniel, shalom. Have good rest, my brother. Happy birthday. You're loved, obviously. And all that grace
Thank
is coming
you,
at you. And thanks for sharing with us. We appreciate
You're very
you.
Welcome.
And I hope we get to see you in America once again before
yeah, I hope so too.
The Lord
well,
returns.
There's no flights this year to America. So anyway,
I know.
We're
I know.
2021.
And we were going to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles in Israel, weren't we?
We were. But you never know.
I know.
You never know.
We'll wait and see. But until that time.
If it doesn't happen, as they say in Israel, next year in Jerusalem.
We'll see you next year in Jerusalem. Let's hope so. Yeah. God bless. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Daniel Seckham checking out. We're getting ready to go to KURM Radio. If you'd like to hear that in 1 hour, we'll be at KURM.net. And we're going to continue the journey today. And then we have Bible study tonight. And we're continuing to do a little work as well in our... I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And by the way, there is a where people were giving their actual offering for the Passover. And if that's something you want to do, there's a little message board right there. You could send it to nwmglobal.org or any other way. And again, I want to thank that individual that did give that Passover offering. And I pray the Lord bless you and all the promises that you heard in Exodus 23 yesterday belonging to that offering. May God enrich you with that, and may this year be a year of prosperity and blessing, regardless of what goes on in this world, because that's the God we serve. That's the promise he gave. So the Lord bless you in your giving in Jesus' name. I'm Pastor Vince. Got to go. Omega Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's a roundtable discussion going on right now at omegaradio.org with Patricia Joy Xavier. She's the author of the book Deliverance, The Christian Bill of Rights. If you're struggling with anything in your life, you want to tune into that broadcast right now. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless. Shalom. And amen.